Father God, I thank you so much for the love that you have for us. I thank you for the sacrifice that you made for us so that we can be saved and have life abundant today and life eternal. We thank you, God, for that. And we come together every weekend for no other reason at the end of the day but to proclaim and worship the name of Jesus. So we thank you, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, that as we do that, as we gather in your name, that you will meet us here because we believe that you keep those promises, that you are in your word and you are in the hearts of your people and that you're meeting us here as we worship. So we love you, Jesus, and we praise you in your holy name. Amen. Amen. Aren't you guys excited that cold weather is here?
Amen.
I love it. I've been waiting months to whip my sweaters back out. I love it. And yesterday we took the AC out and I turned on the boiler and it just, that smell that comes like, we made it back to winter. I love it. I love it. If I ever move, I'm moving north. You guys are like blasphemy. No. So I want you to, as we begin this message in this new series, I want you to start by opening your Bibles to Luke chapter 10. If you've got a Bible with you or something else, open up to Luke chapter 10. I'm going to read a couple other scriptures, but that's the main passage that this morning's message is based on. But I want to start by asking you some questions that I think that are pretty simple for us to answer. The first question is, how many of you would say that you occasionally or often feel stressed? Raise your hands. Raise them high and proud. And some of you guys are, all right. Next question, how many of you would say that you occasionally or often feel financial tension in your life? Raise your hands high. Anybody? A little bit less, maybe? Now, I'm curious, one more. I'm curious, how many would say, I really wish that I either had more time to do what I love or more time to spend with the people that I love? You want more time to do what you love, more time to be with who you love because you are constantly strapped in that area. So the reason I ask these questions, thank you for participating in that. The reason I ask these questions and the reason they're relevant to us today is because this is no surprise to you, right? This is no surprise, but we live in a world and especially in a culture, in America's culture, we live in a place that is constantly telling us to push the limits, constantly pushing us to push the limits. We are constantly sold to, we are constantly told to buy more, to do more, to accomplish more, to conquer more, to build more, to become more, 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 more. It's always go and get it. Go out and get something and bring it home. Now, I would argue as we begin this series, I would argue that because of that tension that we live in our culture, that many of us, even as Christians, are living at an unbiblical and probably unsustainable pace. And that's insane, right? But it's insane, but we don't see it as insane because it's normal. That it's difficult sometimes to just, I'm going to find a one or two nights to stay at home and just rest and do nothing. Because our schedules are so full that they end up imposing stress after stress after stress because we're constantly told that we have to do and we put our value in what we're doing, what we're building, what we're creating, what we're conquering. So that if I would come up to you and simply say, are you enjoying your life? You might say, well, I don't have time to think about that. I gotta go, right? Like, I'm not here for that. Like, let's go, let's go, let's go. Or even if you do answer, you're thinking about 17 other things that you need to get to. Now, most people that I know have very little margin of error in major and very important areas of their life. No margin for important things, no margin for what matters most in life. So I got margin on the screen, making space for what matters most is the name of this four-week series that starts today. Now, so what is margin? Because it's not something that we often think about. Because margin is the thing where we're busy building our life. We're busy using every waking moment. And if most of us are honest, right, we're busy using a lot of the minutes when we're sleeping, right? Like still planning everything. And we can't sleep because we're constantly going over and ruling things over in our mind on how we can get more done in the day, or because we did so much, we never shut our brains off and took a break. Now, I want you to know as we begin this, I want you to know that I'm in a lot of ways the perfect case study for this. I cannot shut my brain off. I struggle with that. So this whole series, all these verses, this is good for me. But what is margin? And here's my working definition of margin for us today. Margin is the amount available beyond what is necessary. The amount available beyond what is necessary. So maybe you could say this is the difference between what you have and what you need. The difference between what you have and what you need. So, for example, if you've got 30 minutes before you need to be somewhere, and it's a 20-minute drive, you've got a 10-minute margin. If you've got a $100 bill in your pocket, and you need to go down to shop and save on the way home to buy $80 worth of groceries, you've got a $20 margin. It's the difference between what you have and what you need. So how does margin in those scenarios, how does that play out in real life? It's scheduling, it's saying, so I got this extra 10 minutes, so I'm gonna use that 10 minutes for something rather than I'm just gonna get up and I'm gonna go and I'm gonna leave just in time and I'm just gonna kind of waste that minute, those 10 minutes, and I'm just gonna get there just in time anyway, versus I'm gonna show up 10 minutes early and sit in my car and rest and just, you know, maybe pull up the Bible app and read some scriptures or spend some time praying or prepping or just relaxing. Or financial margin would be having money left over after all the bills are paid. Right? Like these are life-changing buffers that need to be built into real life. The last week we're going to talk about moral margin, and moral margin is having distance between you and temptation. It's being smart enough and proactive enough to see your weaknesses and create these preset buffers to keep you from stumbling into life-destructive behaviors. It's knowing yourself and knowing the schemes of the devil well enough to put up those parameters. But margin could be a lot of things in our lives. We could talk about a lot of different areas. I mean, it could be margin, having enough emotional capacity to deal with real problems that show up. So like something happens to me, like this happens to me like every week or so, right? Like I'm laying on the living room floor, and one of the kids picks up like the hardest toy on the floor and just whacks me right in the eye. Does that ever happen to you guys? Like emotional capacity is having enough margin to not unleash hell's fury on that kid for throwing a plastic toy at my face. It's being in that good place. Margin could be extra time. It could be extra money to invest and give to people in ministries that you love. It could just be simply having time to think and reflect and meditate and dream. It could be having significant time with God, not just a quick, Lord, thank you and bless this meal, amen, but really sit down and meditate on God's word. But margin is something that most of us really don't have. But I'm convinced, and you may be convinced, and if you look at your life and you reflect on your life, I'm convinced that the best things and the most important things and the most God-centered things so often happen in the margins. They so often happen in the margins of our life. So over the next 3 weeks, I want to explore God's word with you and look at some areas that we all need to develop some margin in our life so that we can better follow Jesus, so that we can better use the time that we're given, because we all have the same time, right? The same 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 168 hours in the week. We all have the same amount of time, so we build in those margins for what matters most. So I ask you to turn to Luke chapter 10. So if you're there, Luke chapter 10 is a story about two different women. One woman decided that she didn't have margin, and the other created margin and experienced something that could never be taken from her and something that she could never have experienced in the future. So here's what it says, starting in verse 38. It says, "Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house." So this is Martha's house. "And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. I want to stop there because it's interesting to me, like I said, that both women had the exact same opportunity. Now, I know with this being Martha's house, I know things are a little harder, right? Like, she sees the mess. She sees this. She's the host. She wants Jesus to be comfortable. So she dives in and she starts serving. But the scripture says she was distracted. So Mary and Martha have the same choice. Jesus is present. And they have this kind of this once in a lifetime probably opportunity to sit at his feet in their house and just talk. So here's what Mary did. Mary created a moment. She created a moment. She took it seriously. She could have had things to do. She could have jumped in to help her sister tidy up, do some laundry, throw together a meal, fix things up. But for this moment in time, she said, no, wait a second. Jesus is here, and I'm going to embrace this moment. I'm going to use this time that I have that I will never get back to enjoy Jesus. She embraced it. But Martha was distracted. She was distracted. She's pulling her hair out. She's trying to get everything done, trying to be a good host for Jesus. Now I want you to see, this is something that's really interesting to me that I think that we need to see when we read this story. Martha wasn't distracted by anything bad or evil or sinful or wrong. She was actually distracted by what we might consider good things. And in reality, many of us are distracted by really good things. We don't have margin in our life because we're doing good, because we're serving, because we're working, because we're taking care of our family. But she sees Jesus come into her house and she's thinking, okay, so Jesus is in my house. Think about how amazing that would be. And she's thinking, you know, the rumor on the street is that he just might be the Son of Man, that he might be the Savior of the world, that he may be the Messiah that our parents have been waiting for, our grandparents had been waiting for, generations have been waiting for. He really might be here to seek and to save the lost. So if he's that important, if he's that big of a deal, think about whoever it is that you idolize in whatever area that you love, somebody amazing, somebody the best of something that you love comes into your house. This is kind of what she's thinking. And she's thinking, you know what? I got to get out my fine china. I got to get out everything that makes him think that I'm taking care of him. I got to roll out the red carpet. I got to light the candle. I got to make sure that the toilet paper matches the curtains. I got to do everything that I have to do to make sure that he knows that I take it seriously that he's here. She doesn't want to look foolish in front of Jesus. She's doing something good because, you know, and it's fine, right? If you were hosting, we'd all want to do the same. I think most of us would be far more likely to be Martha in this situation than Mary. Because everything has its place and every place has its thing. And we're distracted by good things. But I've heard and I have seen and come to believe that if Satan can't make us really, really bad, he's going to make us really, really busy. And he's going to fill our schedules so much that we don't have time for what matters because we become so busy doing lesser things but still important things that we're distracted from the very best thing. Last summer we took Elam, he was not quite two at the time, we took him down to Idlewild and we went to the splash park so you guys, if you've got kids ever done this, you kind of see what this is like. So he's hasn't been really walking that long, maybe about 6 months or so, but we're out there in the water park and he's about yay high, and he's playing with this sprinkler that's just like this one sprinkler that goes up and kind of mushrooms out, and he loves it. He's having a blast, and we're just enjoying ourselves, but I wanted so bad to pick him up and take him just a little ways over and show him some massive water park things, like the bucket that fills up and dumps on everybody's head and all these cool things that he can run to, but every time I picked him up and tried to pull him away, he screamed at me. Because I was taking him away from what he thought was the best thing in the world, and he was having a blast. But I just wanted to say, listen, buddy, I know this is great. I know this is important. I know you're having fun, but I promise you there's something better over there. I promise you that if you just for a minute take your eyes off of this, I got something better. So we're so focused on the things that are important but lesser that we miss out on what really matters. We get distracted and we fill our margins with things that are important and fun and probably valuable. Not bad, but lesser. I have a bad habit of this. I mentioned I'm kind of a case study on this. You know, I have this, I'm probably a little bit of a podcast junkie sometimes. I listen to what's a podcast, right? It's an internet radio show, okay? So sometimes I'm a little bit of a podcast junkie. I listen anytime I have time in my car. I'm driving 10 minutes home, I flip on a podcast or the radio, or anytime I'm, you know, mowing the grass, get these special headphones that will push out the noise but also let me listen to music like a construction worker would wear. And I listen to this stuff all the time, and I find myself that it has become sometimes a little bit of a problem, and my wife can attest to this, that I fill my margin with so much of this. And sometimes I probably need to get the clue, especially now since I'm sharing this as an illustration, but I find myself in the evenings, I'll be washing dishes and running the water, listening to a podcast, and since the water's running, I have to turn it up because I want to hear it, but my kids are playing on the floor right beside me, rolling around in my feet, trying to talk to me, and it kind of makes me a little agitated because I'm trying to listen and I'm trying to work, and if you just let me listen to this and get this done, then we'll just go play, right? Even though the truth is when we go play, I'll still be mulling something else around in my mind because I can't seem to shut that off, because even when I'm playing, I still can't find this margin. But I get frustrated, and the truth is, whenever I'm in that moment, I know that I can hear or sense God saying, hey, come on, man, look what you're missing. Look what you're missing right in front of you. Don't miss this moment for that. I'm distracted. I'm not listening to something bad. I'm listening to something good and encouraging and helpful for my family and for my life. I'm not doing an evil task. I'm doing dishes. We're cleaning the house. But in that moment, instead of allowing the silence and the enjoyment of my children at my feet, I'm filling the margin with something else. And I feel like God doesn't really smile on that, because God has blessed me with these children that are only going to be small for a certain amount of time. So God's like, hey, don't miss the moment. Don't miss the moment. I need to remember that because I'll probably do it tonight, right? Don't miss the moment. So often we're consumed and obsessed with accomplishing something that we think is important that we miss what really matters. Let's go back to Mary and Martha and see what's happening in this situation. I think this is kind of hilarious. So Martha was distracted with much serving, verse 40, and she went up to him. She went up to Jesus and she said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her to help me. Now, I love this. I think this is funny. And the reason I think this is funny is because Martha was absolutely convinced that she was doing the correct thing, that this is important. I'm setting the house for you. I'm in here working and she's being lazy. Hey, Jesus, can you take my side on this? Hey, Jesus, are you with me on this? Now, therein lies the problem, or better yet, the challenge that I have in even kind of teaching through a series like this. And the challenge is, just like Martha, most of you, or anyone in this situation, most of you are already convinced that the way you're living is absolutely right and necessary. And we talk a lot about work and the importance of planning and building and committing your plans to the Lord and working hard and achieving and do those things. But we're so often, we're convinced that the filling in the margins and doing so much is necessary and right. Because you're thinking, well, this is just how we live. Busyness is success. It would be embarrassing for somebody to ask me what I'm up to and not have an answer to fill in all those gaps. It's a badge of honor for me to tell somebody I'm real busy. I'm real busy. Because more is winning, right? See, you're convinced that what you're doing is completely right and necessary to be successful in the world because everyone is doing it. And yet we forget that as Christians, even though we live in this world, there are things about our life that need to look different because we live, we strive to live a biblical life. We live God's way, not the world's way. So we forget that the road, that broad is the road that leads to destruction, the Bible says, and that many people are on it. But if it is the small, narrow gate that leads to life, it is what we need to find, and very few find it. But yet instead, we're following the things of the world. And that's why it's so important what Paul said in Romans 12:2 when he says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind. That's the calling for us as Christians as we live in this world. That what if God's best is not to be like everyone else? What if God's call for you is not to fit in, is not to blend in, is not to just look good in society and everywhere that you go, but instead to be transformed by the renewal of your mind so you can test and discern the will of God? God's best is not what the culture teaches. It's not what the headlines report. God's best is what we read in Scripture so that we don't map out our lives based on what the guidance counselor says or based on what the school teaches or based on what the news reports say, but we schedule out our lives and we plan our lives and we always go back to Scripture. We always go back to the Word of God and say, no, this is how I live because this is the way of living that transcends all culture. And it's so easy for us to allow the culture to influence how we follow Jesus. So over the next few weeks, we're going to talk about some things that are probably going to rock some of you, and most of you, quite honestly, are just going to kind of shake it off and keep going. That's why for as long as I'm a preacher, I'll never be out of a job, right? I could preach the same sermon every weekend, and there would still be someone. Everyone's just, yep, good idea, guy, right? I'm going back. But every once in a while, there's somebody with that aha moment. The Holy Spirit lights something up in their heart and their life changes by the word of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. But I know that most of us are just going to say, you know, that's kind of a good idea. I'll make a minor change here and there. But see, I want more than that for you because God wants more than that for you. God wants more than just social status quo. See, we're gonna talk about some radical life-altering decisions because I'm convinced that most of us are living contrary to what God has planned for us. That in this situation, so she says, Jesus, tell her to help me because I'm right. Tell her I'm getting things done. I'm accomplishing things for you. I'm doing it right. Tell her to get up. And Jesus says, no, listen to me. Listen to me. Look at the moment. Look at this situation. Look at this once in a lifetime opportunity that I, the Savior of the world, am sitting in your house. I am in your presence and inviting you into mine. He says, no, listen to me, Martha. Your production mindset is getting in the way of this God-ordained moment. Your do, conquer, win, victory, all about me, cooler if I tell you that I'm busy kind of mentality is getting in the way of doing and being who I called you to be. Time with Jesus. Verse 41 and 42, but the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion which will not be taken away from her. So here's what you have to understand. The choice is yours. The choice is mine. The choice was Mary's and Martha's. One chose distraction and one chose to create a moment and embrace time with Jesus. But we say this whole series and you could just say, well, guy, you don't understand. You don't know my life. You're right, I don't know your life, but you can come and you can just say, listen, what do you understand about the real world? You don't know my boss. You don't know my financial stress. You don't know my temptations. You don't know my struggles. You don't know my everyday. You don't know what it's like to work 6, 7, 8 days a week. You only work 1 day a week. Some of y'all feel like you work 8 days a week, right? And I work 2 days a week. But let's think about this practically. And this should be obvious. I'll give you something that should be very obvious, but I want to go ahead and say it anyway. So what happens when we live a life without margin? What happens when we don't make room for what matters most? This is simple. When your margin decreases, your stress increases. When your margin decreases, your stress increases. Amen, right? You agree with that? You've experienced that? So when you're running late and you barely make it to work or you barely make it to an appointment, your margin decreases and your stress increases. It's kind of like trying to get to church before the first song is over, right? That's more stressful than showing up early with margin. So the same is true financially. Financial margin decreases, so stress increases. So marriage fights are on the increase. So you come home and you say, you spent what on what with what money? How are we going to pay for that? So things kind of get stressful. So then something in the house breaks and now you have two problems. You've got something broken and we're not sure how we're going to pay for it because you're choosing to live without margin. But we're busy. We're too busy for people. We're too busy for God. And we think that's normal because that's the culture we live in. But every time our margin decreases, our stress goes through the roof. Why is it that so many of us choose to live marginless lives? Why is it that so many of us plan on slowing down one day, but we rarely ever do? See, why is it that so few people make the choice to cut back and have margin? Instead, it's as soon as we have more margin, we find something else to squeeze in there. Because hey, I got time, I'll shove that in there. Why is it that so many of us know that money doesn't make us happy, but we still spend every waking moment pursuing more and fighting and scraping to get more because we really think that it will? Why is it that we don't radically make decisions to create margin in our life and eliminate some of the stress that we live with? Why are we so sick and stressed when we have so many blessings in this life? Now, I'll give you the bottom line to all of this. That is so often when we read scripture, we study the Bible, it so often comes down to this. The bottom line is that because most of us do not fully trust God with this area of our life. Whatever the area is that's stressing you out, whatever it is that you don't have room to do what matters, you're not fully trusting God with it. See, if we do have enough faith to really believe that God is on the throne, then we need to believe that he's going to handle the details and he's going to handle the situation because he loves us and he's to take care of us. So what do we do about this? What do we do about this? To kind of wrap it all up for us and bring it around for you. Why are we talking about this? How does this make sense? So I'm going to give you what I'm going to call simply the come to Jesus moment. If this is you, if you look at your life, be it time or finances or morality or whatever other thing that it may be, whatever it is in your life that's causing, by choice or otherwise, that your margin is decreasing and your stress is going through the roof, knowing that that's not God's will for your life, that that's not God's design for following him, I'm going to invite you to challenge you to what I'm calling the come to Jesus meeting. I'm going to challenge you and push you to do life not according to the patterns of this world that is going to tell you to fill every waking moment, but according to the rhythms of God's grace and choosing what is better. Because someday you're going to stand before the throne of God and he is going to look at you and say, "Well done, my good and faithful servant." And you won't have any regrets. You won't have any regrets. When you're on your deathbed, you won't have any regrets because you're not going to give your life away to things that don't matter. You're not going to give your precious time away to things that are lesser, but you're going to allow your margins to be spent on the things that are important to God and to you. The come to Jesus meeting, Matthew 11:28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I love that verse. That is one of my favorite verses, and it is absolutely one of the hardest verses for me to apply to my life, isn't it? Very much so. But Jesus says, come to me, come to me. So if this is you, if you hear all these things and you look at the full picture of what I'm presenting to you and through the story of Mary and Martha and you look at your life as pertains to margin and making space for what matters, Jesus says, come to me. It's so easy that we don't do it, right? But Jesus says, come to me, all who are stressed out and overwhelmed and can't get it all done in a 24-hour period. Come to me, single parents who are falling apart because you can't do everything by yourself. Come to me, business guy who fears that you'll lose it all. Come to me, mom with no margin for herself because she's so busy taking care of everybody else. Come to me, anyone who feels insignificant if you're not busy all the time. So to anybody with their worth wrapped up in doing, to anybody with their worth wrapped up in achieving and conquering and building, Jesus says, come to me and rest. And it's okay to sit down and rest. It's okay to take a load off and just be with me. Just be with me. Bring your burdens to me. I want them. And let's just sit down and let's rest. Psalm 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. And this is a battle for me. This is hard to do. I am terrible. I've said this a couple of times. I'm a case study for this series and for these passages. See, I am terrible at shutting my mind down and simply being quiet and still in the presence of God. This is as much for me as for anybody else. But I want to give you a little bit of homework. You guys are like, why did I come today? I shouldn't be here. I want to give you a really easy assignment, but it's not easy. It's going to sound easy, but it's a lot harder than you think it is. I've been trying to do it, and it is very difficult. I want you to take 5 minutes a day and be still and sit in God's presence and not produce anything. 5 minutes a day for the next 7 days and sit and not, don't produce, don't plan, just be in God's presence. Don't think about everything, just meditate quietly on God. That's harder than you think that it is, because everything is coming at you. But I promise you that if you just sit down for 5 minutes a day, I promise you, you're still going to get everything done. In fact, I'll take it a step farther and I'll tell you that there's more likely that God is going to bless you by multiplying your time and your efficiency in the minutes and hours to come. But I promise you that your phone is not going to self-destruct if you don't look at it for 5 minutes. It's not going to blow up. Your business isn't going to implode if you take a five-minute break. Just 5 minutes. It's the first step in creating a lot more margin so that you can stop living according to the patterns of this world, but instead start living according to the rhythms of God's grace and create margin for what really matters most for you and for your walk with the Lord. You'll be a better follower of Christ for it, a better disciple for it. You'll be a better parent for it, a better spouse, a better child. You'll just be a better employee. You'll be a better person. You'll be a better Christian if you just sit down every now and again, create margin for what matters most. Because at the end of your life, you want to look back and you want to see that you chose to put the things of God and the blessings he's put in your life, which are mostly people, ahead of pursuing and conquering and winning and your name and your fame. So I want to close out today with a song that if you listen to Christian radio, you'll be familiar with it. It's been on the radio for about 3 years now. It's Just Breathe by Johnny Diaz. So please enjoy this and I'll come back up to pray us out.
Heart. trying to get the upper hand. So much to do in so little time. It's a crazy life. It's ready, set, go. It's another wild day when the stress is on the rise. In my heart, I feel you say, just breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet and be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to just breathe. Third cup of Joe, just to get me through the day. Wanna make the most of time, but I feel it slip away. I wonder if there's something more to this crazy life. I'm busy, 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 and it's no surprise to see that I only have time for me, me, me. There's gotta be something more to this crazy life. I'm hanging on tight to another wild day when it starts to fall apart. In my heart, I hear you say, just breathe, just breathe. Come and rest at my feet. And be, just be. Chaos calls, but all you really need is to take it in, fill your lungs. The peace of God that overcomes, just
as my invitation to you, God's invitation to you, is to just 5 minutes a day over the next 7 days, just take yourself to a place where you can just sit and be and just breathe and enjoy God's presence and see what he begins to do in your life, what he begins to speak to you into your heart, and really pray through where in my life do I need more margin for what really matters most? Because we're not called to live this life of stress. We're not called to live a life where we're just one big mistake or one big tragedy from falling off the cliff. Why don't you pray with me? Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the story of Mary and Martha and for the call to embrace the moment, embrace your presence, to not be distracted even by good things, but to know that you just want us to spend time with you in relationship with you each and every day. So we love you, Jesus. We praise you. I ask that you will speak to each one of us as we go this week and draw us closer to you. And truly, Lord, show us the steps we need to take in whatever areas of our life where we need margin so that we can create margin and really live a peaceful life. We love you, Jesus, and we praise you in your holy name. Amen.